I'm Iman.
And I'm Carla.
And you're listening to Screensaver, a podcast about all things pop culture, including TV, movies, books, and sports. After taking a little break, Carla and I are back, and this is a big episode because we're switching things up. For the first time, we are recording in separate cities. That's right, Carla is patching in via Skype from San Diego, so hopefully the audio quality is okay, because we have got a lot to talk about. Since our last episode on The Nice Guys, we've entered the summer season of television, and we wanted to take a moment to preview some of the shows she and I will be watching over the next few weeks, specifically USA's Mr. Robot and HBO's The Night Of. We're going to kick things off with a little teaser for Mr. Robot's second season.
You see it too, don't you? There are no guarantees anymore. No easy paths to follow. The future's never been less certain. They use that to scare us and keep us in line. Tell us we're powerless to do anything about it. The truth is, we have more power than they think. The power to take action, to choose to do something, anything. Anything but blindly following the herd and accepting that this is just the way things are. They can only keep us down if we let them. Together we can change the world, choose our future. And there's nothing they can do to stop us.
We discussed Mr. Robot in our summer TV roundup last year, but those of you that didn't take our advice and watch it then, first, shame on you. It's going to be hard to avoid season one spoilers. Two, here's a little plot talk. Mr. Robot is a show that chronicles the life of Elliot Alderson, a young man slash hacker struggling with mental illness. In season one, he's recruited by a mysterious social anarchist, the eponymous Mr. Robot, who's played by Christian Slater. And Elliot joins a group whose mission is to bring down one of the largest corporations in America, slash the world. Flash forward to season two, where the results of their plotting and revolution are revealed. Trying to keep this as spoiler-free as possible, Elliot starts out in season two in as dark a place as ever. Why don't we start off with our initial impressions and observations, Carla?
Oh, I'd love to. So when we first talked about this series on the podcast last year, we discussed how impressed we were with the show's writing, its integration of tech culture, and the incredible art direction. I think going into season one, we knew it'd be a good show, but I definitely wasn't expecting it to be the cultural phenomenon it grew to be. Mm-hmm. So suffice to say, there was a lot of momentum going into season two, and expectations were sky high. The first episode, titled Behind the Mask, aired last week in a special two-hour premiere, and it definitely didn't disappoint. In this premiere, as you mentioned, all the characters are dealing with the aftermath of the big season one hack, and we continue to see excellent performances from the core cast, but we were also introduced to a few new characters this season. So rapper Joey Badass makes his acting debut by playing Leon, the Seinfeld aficionado,
yes,
in the show. And then we also have Craig Robinson of The Office fame, who plays Ray, a guy who's basically trying to befriend Elliot.
I am so glad you mentioned Ray's name, because I have been calling him Daryl from The Office for the past week. I was really intrigued initially by the fact that they introduced two new characters in the first episode, when really the entire episode was just Elliot and these two new characters. I mean, it wasn't as if the last season didn't have a really brilliant cast. I mean, we had the hacking team, we had Elliot's other people. I, again, don't want to make this too spoilery, but for them to just pull in these two people that we had never seen, I think it was a pretty bold move, in the sense that it was almost alienating to people that had seen the first season. I can't imagine anyone trying to jump in season two. In terms of the characters specifically, Joey Badass killed it as Leon. I will say,
I know, who would have thought he'd be such a great actor?
Yeah, I will say I did not know he was a rapper before we started this, and I've been listening to exclusively his albums these past few days and really love his music. But both of these characters did bring in just an interesting, unexpected note in the first episode. I'll leave it at that. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it was surprising because we were left with so many cliffhangers in season one with the characters that we already knew so well.
Right.
So to bring in new characters was a little bit surprising, to say the least. But I felt it was a breath of fresh air because these two characters in particular brought a lot of levity to a very dark and chaotic episode.
Yeah, great point.
So moving forward, I'm really interested in seeing how their characters progress, assuming they stick around.
Oh gosh, I hope so. I think something, besides the introduction of the two new characters, something that was kept as consistently as the first season were the visuals. I mean, we talked so much about it last time. What did you think of what we've seen of season two so far?
I mean, visually, the episode was as engaging as ever. And fun fact, I did not know this, but Sam Esmail, the writer and creator of the show, is actually directing every episode of this second season. So the show already has a really clear visual style, but this is exciting because it will allow it to retain that visual cohesion.
That's so interesting because I did think, of course, it is the same style that we recognized from before, but I did feel like these first couple episodes were maybe a little more frenetic or a little harder to jump into. It felt less accessible, but I think Mr. Robot is the...
It felt claustrophobic, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, it didn't. It wasn't easy to watch, and I just think Sam Esmail, just given from the first page he's written of this, from the first season we saw of this show, I mean, it's not a show that's coddling you. And I think
there are so many questions with the show. And we should mention, since the events of the season finale of last season, there is, I believe, a 2-month time gap between what we saw then and what we're seeing now. So the confusion and the disjointedness does make a bit of sense, and I'm sure they're gonna reveal the answers to a lot of those questions in the episodes moving forward. But I do have a couple of other questions, and I don't know, I thought maybe we could run through them, and if we do another podcast episode about Mr. Robot maybe toward the end of the season, we could come back and touch on these.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's hear him.
Okay, so number one, why is Tyrell's wife still relevant? I was surprised to see she was such a big part of this episode.
Yes, I am going to right now tell anyone that's listening that has not seen these, there are going to be spoilers, so just skip ahead until you hear a clip of another show, because I need to talk about this. The only reason I could imagine Tyrell's wife still being relevant is if Tyrell is still alive.
That's right.
Which is still a question. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the bigger question here. Is he still alive? Because I think the only scene we've had with him was a flashback, right? Or a phone call that we weren't even sure happened or not.
Mm-hmm.
The show is still being told so wholly from Elliot's perspective that we can't really trust any scene where he's present, but it's interesting that we are getting these cutaway scenes with Tyrell's wife that I don't think are in Elliot's head. We, as the audience, are just getting, like, exclusive insight to it. So, I don't know. This is going to be interesting to see, because I still think she looks like a, like, scary-looking fish, and I mean,
fish are a common motif in this show.
Yes, she's QWERTY's. It's going to be revealed in episode 6 that she was QWERTY's sister. It's a deep cut joke, but yeah. I mean, I don't have any answers, but I certainly have plenty of follow up. What was another question?
Another question. What's the deal with Angela? At the end of last season, we saw that she took a job with E Corp. The corporation she was actually filing a lawsuit against. So, I mean, the questions here are, is she playing a long con, and is she trying to change E-Corp from within, or is she actually being seduced by the concept of power? And
the assumption
right now, it seems like her character is one of the ones that's changed the most since we first met them.
Definitely. And I think the introduction in this last episode of her lawyer, I think it was, having them meet up for drinks, I think that was kind of an earmarker of, like, this is how much Angela has changed. If she were playing some sort of long con, like you posited, I think that's too generous a reading of the situation that's going on here. I do think she is being seduced. But I don't think... Actually, no. I take that back. I don't think she's being seduced, but I do think she's being absorbed by a system larger than her, and she does have very real misgivings about it. I think that she is kind of fronting to a certain degree of saying, this is actually what I want, this is what I want, and she just is kind of repeating it to herself, trying to convince herself when I don't think she is genuinely seduced or convinced that this is the right thing. I just think that she's in over her head, and she feels like, all right, this is what I have to do. This is the only way I can make money or be successful. I think she's growing disillusioned with the lifestyle that she's wanted, but it was something that she had wanted. Success was something she had wanted for so long that she feels reluctant to abandon it. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think she's one of the most compelling characters in this series. So
yeah,
it'll be exciting to see that transformation.
Yeah, I really have no theories as to where she's gonna go, but I'm excited to see it. What about our main characters?
Oh, that's right. So Elliot and Mr. Robot are currently experiencing a bit of a power struggle right now, to say the least.
Yeah.
So one big question moving forward will be, how will the shifting dynamic of their relationship affect them in the long run? Is there going to be a bit of a Harry Potter prophecy here? And by that I mean, quote, neither can live while the other one survives.
I'm just appreciating that reference. Harry Potter and Mr. Robot are my two favorite things right now. I don't know. I mean, it does kind of seem like that's what it's plotting towards. In this last scene, we had some pretty heightened arguments. I mean, not even arguments, altercations between Elliot and Mr. Robot. And it seems like Elliot is trying to assert his control, but the fact that they are putting such an emphasis on this, I mean, we had an entire episode of essentially Elliot writing in a journal and repeating the fact that he was in control. So that just kind of seems like a Chekhov's gun situation, where it's like this illusion of control is there. Of course it's going to blow up in his face. Whether that means... whether it's a mortal issue, whether they're both going to die. I mean, I don't know about that, but I definitely think... I don't think there's going to be a happy ending. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, does it feel like Breaking Bad, where it's... we all know he's doomed, or... I can't even predict where this show is so...
I definitely don't see a happy ending for either of them. But the fact that we're asking these questions at all is what makes this show so much fun to watch. So...
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
we'll...
We're barely getting started, and I'm sure we're going to have so many more questions moving forward, but...
so true.
From what we've seen so far, it's going to be an amazing ride, and I'm sure it's going to be just as great as season one was.
Agreed. Speaking of amazing, incredible, torturous, insane rides, do we want to move on to HBO's The Night Of?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's kick things off with a clip.
Explain to me what I'm not understanding.
It looks like they killed her, I know that.
But it's not that simple, is it?
Don't talk to anybody anymore. Shut it.
Turn to your left.
You don't have to talk to me.
You need to understand what happened here.
Things just got out of hand.
All right. So for those of you who aren't familiar with it, The Night Of is a gritty murder mystery limited series created by Stephen Zalian about a young Pakistani-American named Naz, who, after a night of partying with a female stranger, wakes up to find her stabbed to death and is charged with her murder.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, it's such a heavy show. I mean, let me start things off by saying we should also mention that there have been a lot of parallels made between this show and the popular podcast that came out last year, I think, or the year before, Serial. I think it's a comparison that is merited, because this is a show that's told almost entirely through the lens of the accused and the convicted, who in this case is Naz. Maybe less like Serial and more like the show we just talked about, Mr. Robot. This protagonist is one who, as you mentioned, a night of partying, he had his memory compromised, so we aren't 1,000% certain we can trust him, and therein lies the intrigue and stress and drama of this show so far.
I know. So, Iman, 2 episodes of this show have aired. What are your initial thoughts about them?
So many thoughts. I feel like I just keep making noises in reaction to this show because I loved it so much. First off, one of the best pilots I've seen, period. And I'd argue, wow. This might be a hot take, I should reel it in, but no, right now I feel like it's one of the best pilots I've seen. And I'd argue that episode one felt much less like an episode one, than it did a prequel, because knowing the premise of the show as you just set it up, and observing how the show itself, or the episode itself, was structured, we did all know where it was going. We knew there was a murder, so it was set up in a way that, to make a pretty gritty analogy, it made you feel like you were following a trail of blood to a crime scene instead of relying on the shock of seeing a body or the surprise of someone jumping out of you. And yet, even though the first episode was highlighted to kind of show every breadcrumb of evidence, I mean, not to give too much away, but the camera does kind of switch instead of being a normal camera, like showing what's happening in the scene, you'll see surveillance evidence or something. Even knowing what was to come, when it got to the crime within the show, it was super scary. So a last recommendation I'll leave you guys with is don't watch it alone. I was definitely walking around my house. I didn't watch it alone, but I was terrified later in the night. So, yeah, that's mine. What were your impressions?
I have to say, this show is beautifully and meticulously orchestrated. I mean, the dialogue is beautifully written. The pacing is slow but deliberate. And the performances were absolutely wonderful. So Riz Ahmed plays the character of Naz, and everything about the way he plays this character is done in a way that makes him instantly likable and instantly makes you reject the notion that he'd be capable of committing this heinous crime.
Yep.
So that in itself makes it really interesting, because you are in denial as much as he is or his parents are.
Exactly, yeah. And I think we could also mention, this is an actor that plays somewhat of a similar role in Nightcrawler, which is a show we both, a movie we both love, so it was really exciting to see him in here and just killing it with the acting.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of which, we also have to give a shout out to John Turturro, who is introduced later in this episode as Naz's lawyer, because he too comes off as instantly likable. I mean, I'm so excited to see what becomes of this show, what new information will be divulged to us each week. And I'm also interested in hearing the conversations that will be had about it.
Yeah, I can't wait until we get further in, because even just hearing you mention a few things, like I feel like a torrent of conversation wants to pour out of me, but at the same time, I don't want to spoil too much. So I'll just wrap stuff up with some final takeaways on these summer shows. So we've been talking about Mr. Robot and Night Of, and of course, I'm sure you guys can hear, we're both really excited about these shows, but there are some other reasons I'm excited about it. From a network perspective, summers are generally about shows like Celebrity Family Feud, Wipeout, mistresses. Mr. Robot and Night Of, they're two heavy, heavy, heavy cable dramas that could not be farther from all these shows. And I'm going to be honest, these are two amazing shows. You've heard me here squealing about them, but my excitement, per se, is less fun excitement, and I have to say it's more that giddy anxiety of going into a horror film, of knowing that you're strapped into something that's going to, in the case of Mr. Robot, it's going to perplex and challenge you. In the case of The Night Of, it's going to jar and disturb and kind of wreck you. So these aren't shows that are lighthearted junk food, as we call our fluffier shows. These are sessions of weight training, and I think I'd emphatically stress that people should stick to the week-by-week model of television for these shows. I guess this is kind of my hot take, but I really think that watching too many of these episodes of such gritty dramas in succession, you will be numb to the drama and everything that's going on, and the visceral experience of watching them, I think, probably would suffer for it. So I'm just gonna mic drop and say, do not binge.
I completely agree with you, Iman. I mean, these shows should be treated like novels. The more time you can spend marinating over each chapter, the more you'll get out of them. Mm-hmm. They aren't shows that are simply meant to be watched. I mean, this sounds a little corny, but they are shows that should be experienced. And we didn't mention this earlier for fear of giving too much away, but it's so exciting to see these shows creating fan dialogue. And if you're interested, do seek out the theories around Mr. Robot floating online or reach out to us to hear more, because we are having, even though the experience of watching the show isn't always 100% fun 100% of the time, it is so much fun experiencing the show with the community and sharing these theories and talking about them.
Yeah, and I think we'd have to give a little shout out to The Ringer, which was one of our signal boosts a couple weeks ago. They have been doing coverage of Night Of, at least. I know you sent me an article last night, so that's all been really exciting. Yeah. Speaking of signal boosts, I think we're ready to wrap the episode up with our own for this week, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start off with my signal boost, because I'm excited to talk about it. We've been here talking about shows that rattle us, that disturb us, and I think it's time to talk about a show that does just the opposite. It's a show that's just returned to PBS. It's The Great British Baking Show. Not Bake Off, not Cutthroat Baking. This show is the television equivalent of a grandma's hug. Each season, it starts out with a dozen or so contestants, and each week they're given a new theme, like breads, desserts, biscuits, etc. There are no gotcha moments or attempts to heighten the drama. It's really just dedicated to the excellent craftsmanship of these awesome bakers, and the contestants are even given the week's theme in advance so that they can prepare their recipes. So, yeah, it's just good, wholesome pleasantry, and it was the perfect show to fold laundry to before bed this week. So that's my signal boost. The Great British Baking Show on PBS. It's also on their website. Check it out.
Yes. It's on Fridays at 9 o'clock. I had to look it up today.
Yep, that sounds like a solid Iman Friday plans.
No, but I agree with you 100%, and the grandma's hug analogy is so perfect. It's comfort food.
Yes, but not junk food.
No, not at all.
It's not mistresses.
Okay, so my signal boost is a little bit different. I know I was actually planning to give my signal boost this week to Bill Simmons' new show, Any Given Wednesday, but this morning I saw something that made me change my mind.
Did you?
Don't get me wrong. Any Given Wednesday is still awesome, and I recommend it to anyone who loves sports or listens to Bill Simmons' podcast. But I saw the first episode of the new Netflix series, Stranger Things, and oh my god, it was so much fun.
Oh my gosh, you were just talking about this. Sorry, this is news to me. Continue.
Okay, so let me set the premise for you. The show takes place in a small town in Indiana in 1983, and it follows a group of four comic book loving Dungeons and Dragons playing boys. So right away, you know, I'm all in on this. But one night, one of them goes missing, and the story kind of progresses from there. So imagine X-Files meets E.T. meets Twin Peaks meets the pop culture savviness of a show like Psych. And that's what you get with Stranger Things. It has humor, it has intensity, and it has mystery. And I know I've only seen one episode, but I'm already hooked, and I'm so looking forward to seeing what comes next.
I'm so excited to hear you talking about the show, because you mentioned it to me last night. Obviously, we haven't talked since then, which is the big difference of, I guess, Screensaver 2.0. I can actually be surprised about stuff you tell me. But yeah, the show sounds great. Last night when you told me about it, you said it was like, imagine the Goonies, but one of them goes missing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so excited to hear it lived up to the hype. I'm definitely going to be checking this out.
Yeah, and there has been a lot of hype and a lot of buzz about this show. So, I mean, I just put on the first episode and it was great. And in terms of actors, the only one that I recognized was Winona Ryder. Apart from that, it's all relative unknowns. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
All right. Well, if you decide to check out The Great British Baking Show or Stranger Things on Netflix or any of the recommendations we've given to you today, we'd love to hear your thoughts. You can reach out to us by following us on Twitter at ScreensaverPod or by liking our Facebook page, Screensaver Podcast. That's S-A-V-O-R. As always, you can find other episodes of Screensaver on iTunes. Thanks for listening. Bye, Kedle. Bye. Hi, everyone. I mean, Carla.
Sorry.
All right. I'm leaving it in. That's your punishment.